right. Hi, guys. Clayton again. Welcome to episode 46. This should be known podcast. I am once again in Kansas at sunset, and it is beautiful, is it not? So, last time, it was the first time I'd recorded a new episode in at least a couple of years, I think. Before that, I think episode 44 was, recording I'd done, I don't know, a couple of years ago, maybe. I've been busy doing a podcast with Susan Easton Black. If you know who she is, she's a well-known historian specializing kind of in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, probably especially Joseph Smith's lifetime. Really special experience doing that. We hope to do another season going from his life going forward, and I highly, highly recommend that. The one we did, it's called Impressions of a Prophet, or Joseph Smith, Impressions of a Prophet. Never know quite what it is. And but we hope to do another episode, and highly recommend it, not because of me, although I do try to do my best, and I do some what I think is some good music on there, but because of her. Really, she's a phenomenon. And yeah, so but here we are, and I have some time to do this. I'm doing it like this with the video, me walking around, for I guess maybe a couple of reasons. One is that I take way too much time, guys, editing. I make hundreds of edits per episode, even for a short episode, just with the gaps in the words, and I'm but it holds me back from being able to put out stuff. I just don't have the time in my life to do that, and this is partly an effort to get away from that a little bit. I'm trying not to do arms hurting, I might get me a selfie stick, try not to do be so perfectionistic about it, I guess. So the reason I'm just showing my face on video is you don't have to watch this, it's just me walking around, I guess, but lots of people like to consume their stuff on YouTube via video. So for those people, I want to have it that option as well as just an audio option. So how can I hold this? I don't know. So that's why I'm doing it like this. But there's a video or an audio version. Audio only as well. Maybe that's what you're already listening to. If you're listening to it, I'm horrible at promotion. I'm not paying anybody to help me with that. So if you're here, you are just unbelievably lucky. Right? But anyway, glad you're here. Okay, let's get to kind of the topic. And it kind of helps me to think, honestly, that the continuity of me walking and being up is probably easier than me sitting at my desk at the keyboard and stuff like I have been. Oh, let's stop looking at me and look at the sunset a minute. So, last time we talked about kind of an overview of self-deception and the basic idea of this podcast is really a simple theory. Self-deception is you... Let's see if this is still recording. It is. We all have a sense of right and wrong. At all times, 24/7. From the moment we're born, I don't know, maybe... Well, I don't... Anyway. We all have that. And the theory is, the assumption or the postulation of the theory the assumption on which it's based, that other things flow from, is a few things, but one is that whenever we go against, well, one is that that exists, our sense of right and wrong. Another one is that anytime we go against that, we of necessity justify ourselves. We have to justify ourselves. There's no such thing as doing wrong and being at peace with the world and not self-deceiving. We must justify ourselves, and justifying ourselves means in our minds we tell ourselves whatever we need to make the wrong we did seem right. That's it, and everything flows from there. We do not have to be consciously aware of the wrongness or rightness of the thing. We can, it can be in the, I don't know, the deep recesses of our consciousness, where it's not conscious at all. It doesn't matter whether we know it or not. We deceive anyway. Now, does it matter to the extent of which things happen? If we do know it consciously, if we have that light and that knowledge that's been given to us at some point, yes, it does. Absolutely does. It matters a lot. And I don't know, I'm not prepared at this moment to talk about exactly what that difference is, but we should sometime. Okay, so that's the basic assumption, and everything flows from that, and I kind of already went over that. Oh, I really need my selfie stick. Need to get one. So today I was just going to touch on a couple things. One, kind of something about what I said last time. What was I talking about the field of psychology, and then something else I can't remember, and then talk about the price we pay for this. So starting with the first thing, I'd said that the field of psychology was in the dark, because it doesn't have any clue about self-deception officially. So what I mean though by that, and I want to qualify that, is that it's in the dark theoretically. It does not have any understanding of, you know, there's this moral thing that surrounds us, moral knowledge that surrounds us, comes from God, and whenever we go against that, all these things happen. That's nowhere in its set of axioms or principles or anything. But there are a lot of therapists and maybe even psychological thinkers, psychologists, who have some, you know, as humans, we all have some innate knowledge of this. We see how people do stuff that isn't good for them, and, you know, you can't change until you want to, and I don't know a great set of examples, I guess, but there are a lot of therapists and people in psychology who do a lot of good, who do have a maybe innate kind of faint maybe understanding of this. We just, as people, I think we kind of do. We just, nobody's articulated it maybe real great. So good things happen with psychology and psychologists, and I think probably a lot of wrong things. But when I say psychology is in the dark, then I mean theoretically the theory just isn't there. Okay. Isn't that light pretty? It's going to get dark there really soon. Let's see. Okay, the price we pay. Blanking on the other thing to say, but the price we pay is just a thought I had. when you when you self-deceive, it's real convenient. It's great. You are off the hook. You can live in your, you know, false world. I need an example. Sometimes I'm not great at picking one out. Maybe I'll start with the generality. You live in your false world. You think you're in the clear. You're never really feel comfortable because you're always, it nags at you constantly. You're always seeking that validation and that justification and the other people to validate you and everything. But you think you're getting by maybe with your little self-deception, but there's a price you always pay. And let me pick depression as an example. So, and this is going to be controversial. I don't know why I always want to start with this, but let's say depression, if this theory is right, if what I think is right, and I may, there may be things I don't understand about depression, I'm sure there are, but let's say that if the theory that depression is basically a condemnation of the self, a failure to love and respect yourself, just kind of the same way you'd fail to love and respect somebody else, and that is a mandate that comes from this light of Christ, this moral law that surrounds us. I thought of something else I want to say about the moral law and how you can figure that out using this. That made me lose my train of thought. Moral law that surrounds us. Oh, depression. Okay, so if depression is, in essence, kind of this rejection of yourself and kind of hate for yourself or lack of love and respect, there's a positive side to that and a downside for that. It doesn't seem like there'd be any positive sides, but there actually is. You have an excuse. Boy, this one's kind of hard because, yeah. But there really is like this kind of addiction to your self-loathing and your condemnation of yourself, just like there would be with somebody else. If you can judge somebody else, they're a bad person, you're better than them, you know, it excuses you from having to forgive that person and love that person, and that can be hard. So that's the upside, I guess, for condemning somebody else. For yourself, how can you be better than yourself, I guess? I don't know. I'll have to think about the upsides of condemning yourself. What are they, guys? Think about this with me. The upsides of condemning yourself. I'm not sure how to describe it. I'll think about that. But there's something satisfying in a twisted way about kind of giving up on yourself, condemning yourself, telling yourself you're no good, giving into that temptation. There's something you don't want to give up about that. It's what is it? It satisfies something. It's It leaves you with an excuse. It allows you to be miserable. Sometimes you want to be miserable. You don't have to be happy. Sometimes it's hard to be cheerful. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to be hopeful. You don't have to be cheerful. You don't have to forgive yourself. You don't have to try. That's another thing. You can give up. You can be discouraged. You can give in to discouragement. And that's kind of a lazy way of being. And there's something that the carnal mind likes about that. And that's maybe as good as I'm going to get tonight with explaining that. But what's the downside? I mean, you can kind of revel in that twisted, you know, misery, but there's a downside. There's a price. What's that price? You're miserable when you don't want to be. Not just in the way that you want to be, but you lose your energy. You lose your will to do stuff. You don't enjoy doing things that you would otherwise enjoy doing. Maybe I should head the other direction now. They're physical symptoms, you know. It's, believe me, it's very physical. And can the physical affect the mental? I think so. I don't understand how. I don't know, but I would say in every case, and maybe I'll get hate mail for this if anybody actually listened, but in every case, I would say that there is this self-deception going on in the case of depression. That's going to sound very mean to the people who suffer with it. Good people, you know, outstanding, you know, some of the best people on the planet struggle with depression. But self-deception is not for just bad people. It's for us all. It's a regular mechanism of life. And it's just all around us. We experience it every day. There's no reason to condemn or judge the people who do suffer from that. What do I say about that? If there's anything that they're not doing right, it's that they're, I don't even like saying it that way. All I want to say is that the right thing is to love and respect yourself, just like you would somebody else, and that you're worth everything to God. Depression tells you you're not worth much or anything, that you're unworthy, that you're, you know, find a reason, guilty, you're less than for some reason, you can't do stuff, you're just you're no good person. You're basically judging yourself. So there's a price. That's my whole point here. There's a price you pay with every form of self-deception. So we just talked about the price of the kind of the depression lie. There's a lie for anxiety. There's a lie for lots of different things. What's another form of self-deception we could talk about? If you steal, and thinking about this one, or you take a candy bar from a store, you have to tell yourself that, you know, store owner's too rich already. He's corrupt. Maybe the store ripped you off some other time. And maybe the whole world owes you something. I don't know. Whatever you tell yourself to justify your being a thief. But that turns you into a thief. That's the price you pay. It turns you into, you have to go around believing that, you know, you're a victim. And that's pretty universal, the whole idea of being a victim. That goes into lots of stuff. But being a victim justifies all kinds of great stuff. You can do all kinds of stuff because you're a victim. It justifies tons of things. But there's a downside to that, right? There's a price you pay. What is that price? You have to go around all your life being a victim. And I mean, that's going to hold you back. You're going to have this, you know, animosity between you and everybody else, or whoever you think you're a victim to, whoever you're putting yourself in their power or whatever. Okay, I guess I'll stop there with the whole price thing, but if I were a little more lucid, I would talk about, you know, all the different examples and ways that you pay this price for self-deception, even though it seems like a great deal at the beginning up front, because you get to be justified. So, okay, now the third thing. What are we doing here? Should we stop for a musical break? I think we should stop. Okay, hope you enjoyed that. Okay, so the last topic, I guess. The law, yes. Okay, so this principle of self-deception is a great tool God has given us that helps us to understand good from evil, basically. So this whole idea of, you know, nobody's better than anybody else, I like how the script writers of Oklahoma, I don't remember who they are, sorry, put it in the script, called the script, Aunt M, she says, I don't say I'm better than anybody else, but I'll be danged if I ain't just as good, right? Nobody's better than you, and nobody's less than you. We're equal. So how do we know that? Do the scriptures, you know, explicitly say that? Maybe somebody could read them and interpret something and be like, yeah, but I feel like I'm not sure that that exists. Maybe somebody'd say that, but you can learn that from observing self-deception. You can see that whenever you think that you're better than somebody else, things aren't right with that. There are things in your head that don't line up. It doesn't logically mesh with stuff, and you find people self-deceiving. If they really think they're better than somebody else, you notice that they're like going around justifying themselves in that belief and like trying to reinforce it all the time and doing things in their life that try to reinforce that. And well, if that were true and you really were, you wouldn't need to do that. So that's the big key. If you see somebody or yourself looking for that justification, then you know it's wrong. That's the key, guys. That's the key. If you find yourself looking for justification, you know it's wrong, because you wouldn't need justification if it were right. If you think you're less than somebody else. Ooh, tired arm. Then you also kind of go around seeking validation for the fact that you are less than. You find yourself sabotaging yourself. You find yourself, miserable. You sabotage yourself because you can't really be successful, because you're holding on to this belief somewhere deep down that, you're not as good as somebody, that people are unequal. I don't know if I'm explaining it that good, but you can use this principle to find truth. And if you look for this, find, okay, well, I'm not better. If people aren't better than somebody else, that never works. But if people aren't less than anybody else, then we must be the same. We must all be valued by God. And you can even deduce that God exists like this. People who maybe insist that he isn't there and have all these reasons, maybe they're active in their, denial of God. Well, they wouldn't have to be active at all if that were the case, if that was true and they felt at peace with themselves. If somebody needs everybody else to validate their behavior somehow, then whatever they're thinking, you can go, okay, interesting, that thought is false. Good to know. Okay, guys, I think this has been good, hopefully. Thanks for joining me. Should be known podcast. My name is Clayton. And we'll talk again soon. Bye.